Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic, hits the road now.
Broadcasting live inside the Orlando Magic Studios, here's your host, Aaron Berlin.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Magic Drive Time, the podcast returns Mo Bamba Day. Magic officially select Mo Bamba number 6 in last night's NBA draft. Just a reminder, if you enjoy this podcast, you can rate and subscribe it on iTunes, also Google Play. We do appreciate that. But now the guy that we're really waiting for, the guy that we've really wanted to talk to this entire time, the guy that was just in New Jersey for about 2 weeks that we have not spoken to since then. He only flies in for draft night coverage and stays. That is the one and only Dan Savage. Dan, the beard is longer. Our listeners want to know, at what point are you going to shave this ridiculous thing that is on your face?
Well, this was the draft day beard, so now it's going to be shaved, groomed, properly attained to. So as we go through this process with the draft, I grow out the beard. Now the day is done. We have the picks. We've done the press conference. It's time for the beard to go.
But don't you have to just kind of keep it? You mentioned that it was a good luck charm going into this. At what point is it no longer a good luck charm? You kind of have to ride this wave now, right?
If we get enough requests, I'll keep it through Summer League, see how the success of the beard does there in Las Vegas. And if it does well, I may even commit to keeping it through the preseason and giving it another shot.
I cannot wait to see Dan Savage in Vegas. That just sounds really fun. So today, actually, the traveling pod rolls along. We've done this podcast in numerous places. I think one thing our listeners always want to know is where is this podcast taking place? On the day that the Orlando Magic introduced Mo Bamba, the number 6 pick in last night's NBA draft, to his new NBA home, the mascot games were going on simultaneously in the bowl at Amway Center. So we decided that we wanted to do this podcast on the field of the mascot games. How excited were you that, one, you got to attend Mo Bamba's first press conference as a member of the Orlando Magic, and two, stuff doing his thing on the football court field inside the Amway Center?
Well, as I looked at the aftermath of the mascot games and saw this confetti and celebratory items, I thought it was Magic fans celebrating the arrival of Mo Bamba. But no, it was actually the mascot games. And while there were a number of mascots that impressed me, Stuff obviously being the front runner, secondary surprise mascot was the Wawa Canada Goose.
I didn't even know Wawa had a mascot.
I did not either.
That's how like out of touch I am with Wawa. The fact that they have a mascot. I knew McDonald's had a mascot. Everyone knows Ronald McDonald. Did not know Wawa had one.
Well, Wawa is Native American for Canada Goose. That's how they got their name.
I'm impressed that you know that.
That's all I know because I grew up north where Wawas are plentiful.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It's a great story.
They owe us a sponsorship after this story.
Okay, let's get back on track because I think everybody does want to know what our thoughts were on last night's NBA draft. And it was a night that I think for the Orlando Magic and for the way that their front office envisioned the way this draft was going was a perfect scenario. Now, the way that it got there, I don't think was how they initially thought things would play out. They knew that they needed movement. They didn't know what the movement would be. They knew that pick at 3 would be in play for other teams. And when Atlanta and Dallas started making their movement on draft night, the board kind of unraveled and you realized Mo Bamba was going to be there. And for a front office that values length, that values athleticism, that values intellect, that values character, he is their ideal player.
Yeah, Jeff Weltman will not reveal their draft board.
Nor should he.
And nor will he allow us to reveal his draft board. But I can tell you this. They really love Mo Bamba. They really, really love Mo Bamba. And when they were looking at the draft scenarios of how they could acquire him, there was really only one realistic way that that was going to happen. And that was the movement that took place. And when that happened, I'll say they were elated that they got this guy. When Steve Clifford arrived, we talked about what his teams tend to do very well, and that's defensive rebounding, pushing in transition, causing turnovers. Mo Bamba is going to be a center point of all that, literally. And the things he does well immediately will translate to the NBA, blocking shots, rebounding. There's no doubt about that. But when you look at the work he's put in, he really has the chance to be a transcendent player in a sense, because if he could provide the type and the comp has come for Rudy Gobert, that type of defensive impact, and then also step out and shoot threes eventually at some point in his career, that is a special player. That is hard to find. If he turns into that, every other team in the league is going to be looking for their version of Mo Bamba.
I was going to say, people put the comp at Rudy Gobert, and Rudy Gobert is a fantastic player. And what you have to remember about Rudy Gobert, he essentially had the Jazz in the playoffs before Donovan Mitchell was
a thing.
That's how good of a thing he is. But people forget that, like, when they say it's a pace and space league, that you need guards, you need shooting. At the end of the day, Utah and a Western Conference that is stacked top to bottom, when they just had Rudy Gobert for long stretches, were almost a playoff team. That's how important a position like this still is.
No, definitely. There's really two ways you want to score in this league, and that's attacking the rack to either score at the rim and get fouls, or you're going to step out and shoot three-pointers. Well, now the Orlando Magic have made it very, very hard to do almost two of those things. One, they have defensive players who can alter shots without fouling, so you limit the free throw numbers, which Steve Clifford teams tend to do, as we talked about. And then two, now they are also protecting shots at the rim, so that leaves three-pointers. And that's where the Orlando Magic are going to have to work on both ends of the floor, is one, improving their guard play, and then two, finding shooting. So as Jeff Weltman and John Hammond approach this summer, they know what the goal is. We have to add shooting to this. But in the draft, they took care of big business in terms of when it comes to length, size, 3-and-D players, rim protection. They added those type of guys. And so defensively, this Orlando Magic team is loaded. They are absolutely stacked. And now the journey will continue for them to continue to build this. As Jeff Weltman alluded to in this post-draft press conference, Magic rookie introductory press conference, he said Rome wasn't built in a day. And what they did is they took a foundational step here and added another key piece so that this franchise now has an identity.
And that's where I was going to go with this, because you and I, we were here till 1:30 last night at the Amway Center. And as we were walking out and we were passing the Geico Bridge, you know, you and I were walking side by side, and we were sitting there and saying, what kind of a difference does this make for next year's team? And you and I both settled on the mindset was, you know, for the last 3 or 4 years that you've watched this team and they have good pieces, and some of those pieces just don't necessarily always fit together. But now we know what this team has, what its identity is. And their identity is that they're going to be long, they're going to be lengthy, they're going to be players that can switch, and they're going to be a defensive-minded team. And for the longest time, we've been clamoring for an identity. And I think now the thing that people don't realize, this team clearly has an identity, and that's what we've wanted for the longest time.
No, without question. When you looked at this draft night, I think it would be easy for fans to understand, okay, if a guard selected, oh, there's a hole after the Elfrid Payton trade, you fill that hole. But what the Orlando Magic have looked at consistently is adding the best player in the draft. And when they selected Mo Bamba number 6, they felt they added the best player in this draft. And when you look at it, they now have the identity. If you're asking what's the identity of this Orlando Magic team, it mirrors its head coach.
And actually, Mo Bamba's walking right now.
And he gave a thank you. But you look at what he can do defensively alongside Jonathan Isaac, and they really worked well together in tandem. They are modern NBA players. They're tall, they're long, they can eventually step out and shoot. They're going to make a big impact early on, and also mirror the image of how their head coach likes to play.
And that's an interesting thing, because a lot of people talk about guard-oriented lead. You go back, and the NBA is always evolving from positionless players to the ability to move, the ability to slide, the ability to shoot. And I think we're starting to see, and the draft unfolded this way this year. When you look at how the bigs were taken, all the bigs can shoot now. It's a thing. It wasn't that way 5 years ago. So if you're sitting here and you're trying to build the next Golden State Warriors, that's not how you're going to win a championship, because you're going to have to do it in a different way, because you can't mirror other team success. So you need to find the next thing. And if you have a player like Mo Bamba, who's versatile, who can do so many different things, who can shoot, who can be that defensive presence, that's a really good anchor to have for years to come.
No, you can only build through what is available to you. It would be great if you could go out there and find a number of players who mirror Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, etc. But there's a reason those guys are special, because they're rare. So what you have to do is go out and find your own type of special players, and whatever positions they may be at, you find them. And I'll tell you what, we were at the combine together, and you could, you know, vouch for me on this one. There were a number of people who came up who were talent evaluators in the NBA, media members, and there were a lot of them who felt that Mo Bamba might be the most talented player in this draft when you look back on it. And there's a reason he had tons of draft hype. And fortunately for the Magic, he slipped down the board. It worked out tremendously for him. So what you want to do in the draft, because you can't do it anywhere else, it's very hard to do anywhere else, especially when you're in the stage of evolution that the franchise is currently in. You need to find transcendent players, players that who can alter the course of a franchise. And Mo Bamba has the potential to do that. And whether he, you know, turns out to be that type of player or not, you know, that's up to him. That's up to the coaching staff to develop. But the tools are there. He is a very rare player. The league has never seen at the combine a guy as long as him. He breaks the Rudy Gobert mold, which was a 7'6 wingspan, and he's at 7'10. I mean, this guy is a special type of player. And I think his game is only going to grow from here.
Let's talk about character, because Jeff Weltman in the press conference today put a lot of emphasis on character. And we both met Mo Bamba at the combine. We talked to him, and you and I both walked away from a scrum interview where we are pivoted with 30 or 40 reporters just trying to like pepper questions at one another. And even in that scenario, in that setting, we walked away and we were blown away by how he spoke, how he carried himself, how he had this business-first approach to everything. And then when you get him in the Amway Center in his first introductory press conference as a member of the Orlando Magic, you notice some of the things that Jeff Weltman and John Hammond fell in love with. One, his basketball ability. That's key. That's the first and overall thing. The second is how he speaks, how he handles situations. And he was confident in himself. He spoke well. And more importantly, he showed some of his personality. We got a few laughs out of him. There were instances where a guy's phone in the media room went off and, you know, he showed that he is a 19-year-old kid. And these are some of the things that as the summer goes on and as we move into training camp that we're going to learn about Mo Bamba. And it was nice to see some of that personality show through today.
Yeah, we saw it. And I thought one of my favorite ones was the story about how he texted Shaq asking him for his Orlando house. That is a great bite. And when you look at him, he definitely has, you know, a great character. He's a funny guy. And he alluded to it in the press conference. The Orlando Magic have the history of having an interesting character at the center position. Shaq took the city by storm. Dwight did it again, you know, as this team was riding all the way to the 2009 NBA Finals. And they have another guy who's very special here in Mo Bamba. So if he could be anything, you know, as impactful on the game as those guys were here, this franchise is going to, you know, hit highs once again. But he is a special player, great character. And now it comes down to work. You know, how much is he willing to work? And from the early indicators of how much work he's done and the number of shots he's put up in the study of his mechanics and what things he was lacking since that season ended into the NBA draft, if that's any indicator of how he'll work while he's with this franchise, the future is very, very bright for Mo Bamba.
I was going to say that that's the crazy thing. So the college basketball season, if you make it all the way through and you play to the final game, ends the first Monday in April, right? That combine is held in the middle of May. The draft is held in the middle of June, late June. That's only essentially 2 months to overhaul a shot, to work on your mechanics. And reports were that he was putting up 200,000 threes or whatever the absurd number is out there. And that 2 months is not a long time to overhaul your game. Like we've seen with Mo Bamba and some of those videos, we've all seen the videos of him shooting threes. That shows the work ethic. And he talked about it today in his opening press conferences. He's here to work. He's here to get better. And he's here to help this franchise.
Now, there's a number of different approaches guys can take when they go in the draft. And one of them, which is very popular, as we talked about the draft process in one of our previous podcasts, is that the agents can control the process to a degree, especially when you're a highly touted prospect, as Mo Bamba was. what they could easily do and go to a workout and just say, we're going to just display the things he does well. Focus on that. Just work on your body. You just flash at the combine. That's what a number of prospects tend to do. Mo Bamba just looked at it as, I'm just going to try to make myself be the best player. And instead of just focusing on the things I'm doing well and showing that to teams, I'm going to show them the things they think I can't do well. I'm going to do those great. I'm going to break down my shot in the middle of the process and reinvent myself. So what that shows to me about Mo Bamba is his concern wasn't just about, let me get drafted as high as possible and be satisfied with that. His focus from the end of that college basketball season is, let me start the journey of becoming the best NBA player I can be. And that was his focus. And it looks like he's on his way to achieving that goal.
We talked about this last night, but how excited are you to just see Jonathan Isaac and Mo Bamba side by side on the court playing together with all that length and athleticism?
And I'll tell you what, too, there's another guy I'm excited to see along with that, and that's Aaron Gordon. I've already seen some people on Twitter, and it may be the Magic Pinstripe post, I have to clarify this, but come up with the initials B.I.G., the victorious B.I.G., and that's because when you look at the initials of these guys, you have Bamba, Isaac, and Gordon. And that is really exciting because when you talk about the NBA now, everybody says it's a positionless league. You have to be able to switch on defense. You have to have athleticism and length. Well, if you talk about three guys who could switch on defense in the front court, have tremendous length and athleticism, it's going to be hard-pressed to find a better three to do it back there than those three guys. So the potential there is enormous. Now it's up to those guys to work hard, to build chemistry, and then for Steve Clifford to put them in the right situations. And when you look at Steve Clifford's track record, it's perfect for this type of dynamic.
Do you think we can get T-shirts made? Can we copyright that?
I don't know.
We'd have to give credit to the Pinstripe Post, of course.
Yeah.
But
I don't want to definitely give it to the Pinstripe Post, but I know that's who highlighted the tweet. So
if we make images, though, and put them on T-shirts, that's our idea then, right?
Well, true. Can you put our faces on T-shirts?
No, nobody wants to see our faces. Everybody wants to see your face and your beard. Nobody wants to see me. Yeah, these are facts.
I think what you could probably do with you would be to have a night in the arena where they gave out your hair.
I don't think anyone would want to walk away with
that. And you could put your hair out there, and they could put Jonathan Isaac's hair out there, and then when he comes to town for wherever he lands, you could put Alfred Payton's out there and leave people the choice.
That's true. They could pick and choose. Yeah,
those are three interesting hairstyles.
You know, we did get a lot of good hair in last year's draft. This year, we got a lot of good intellect. I also enjoyed hearing from Melvin Frazier as well as Justin Jackson. Frazier, of course, taken at 35. Jackson was a trade. Magic moved down from 41 to 43, took Jackson at 43. Just your thoughts on those two guys. And obviously, the book on Jackson, he's been hurt. Melvin Frazier had a great combine, really rose up draft boards, but just kind of your take on them.
Well, when you look at it, this Orlando Magic draft had a theme. And clearly the theme was athleticism, length, and you could even toss in wingspan, as many people have, because they are extremely long. This group is definitely going to work well together, and the key is going to be, you know, how well do they develop the shot? Because if you're going to look at anything that the draft class lacked, it's perhaps right out of the gate shooting. So that means you're going to have to work on that aspect of it. And, you know, this is one of the things Rob Hennigan talked about when he was here. This is, you know, a lot of GMs and basketball operations people have this mindset is, if a player is going to be willing to work, shooting is something that can be taught and improved. You can't teach a guy to have a 7'10" wingspan. You can't teach a guy to be extremely athletic, but you can work on shooting mechanics. Now, some of these guys that they got in the end, you look at Jackson, they have potential to be 3-and-D. They do have the potential to do that. Mo Bamba has already reinvented his shot and shown flashes at the college level, hitting 14 threes at that size. So we'll see if it translates, but there are going to be areas. We've seen that they've addressed the length, the defensive athleticism, and when you look at the Orlando Magic's numbers on the defensive end over the last couple of years, you can see why this was such a priority heading into the draft.
I kind of want to circle back to something because now I regret myself not asking you about it. But when you brought up Jeff Weltman, how the agents kind of massage things and they control the workouts or where their players go, that seems something that really frustrated Jeff Weltman during last night's post-draft press conference that people didn't understand that that's how things work now, that agents are trying to establish a ceiling and a floor for their players, and that sometimes you can't get guys in. And when you have an opportunity, this is where your scouting comes in, and this is where working with agents, all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. It's just that stuff seemed to frustrate him a little bit, and it also seemed to educate people a little bit on how this process actually works.
Well, yeah, and we know people have different levels. Like, there's a lot of people that come into the press conference, and some of these people cover, you know, 8 different sports. So when you look at it, their knowledge of the process isn't as strong as somebody who's living it every day. And if you're an everyday NBAer, you know that the way this game is played now, it's a lot different, the way the draft process works now, than it did even 10 years ago. And the way they look at it now is they try to get their guy set to a certain position where they're hearing his name's going. And then they make that, a lot of agents, the cutoff point for teams they'll work out with and display, because you want to get those teams in front interested in you, and then you don't want to do anything behind that. But on the flip side of that, you know, Mo Bamba knew they were interested. They did have plenty of conversations with him at Chicago. We had heard even then that they were blown away by this guy. We were blown away by this guy. And after that, you know, they were very accommodating in making everything that they needed, even some lengthy medicals, etc., available to the Orlando Magic. So they were well in tune with the guy. And look, some people get really into individual workouts and stuff like that. To me,
I was going to say, this is where it goes back to what we were talking about in our last pod. This is why when they tell you about the workouts,
I've always
you can't
said,
put a whole lot of trust in
I've
them.
I've always said, by that point, it should be the icing on the cake. You should know. I mean, there's a reason these guys travel the world. They've had like 10 different people go see this person play the game. The game is made on the practice court and on the floor, and they've watched this guy practice. They've watched this guy in games. You know what type of guy he is.
Scouting, it's a great thing, right?
If you're really changing your workout on what a guy does in a gym all by himself, or in a workout that's perhaps controlled by his agent and telling what he can do, then in my opinion, your front office could be in a little bit of trouble. The individual workout is just the icing on the cake. So we think this guy does these things well. Let's see. Okay, yes, he does. You know, we're being confirmed. And then if not, well, you know, then you have to slowly. But if you're slowly basing it off an individual workout, I mean, you know, that's troublesome. So to me, it's just always the icing on the cake. It's nice to have. It's reassuring. But at the end of the day, that's not what you should be basing your evaluation on.
I was going to say, it's crazy that from the end of the NBA season, everybody starts talking about the one-on-one or the one-on-zero workouts or the group workouts that they do. People forget that they've been scouting these guys for years.
Yes,
like, they probably knew about
Mo Bamba
back when he was a freshman in high school, and that they've been scouting him this long.
Well, you know, now so many of these guys play in tournaments and things that they end up playing against NBA players, and this camp and this, you know, tournament. So, you know, the funny part is when we mentioned this, like when you talk to these prospects about Jonathan Isaac, just about everybody had interacted with him at some point or another. So if you were scouting Jonathan Isaac over all the course of these years, you've seen all these other guys at various points. So they've had their hands and been around this guy for a long time. They were blown away by his interview and his character, and they're very excited to have him in the house, as well as the other prospects that we touched on. They've built an identity here with this draft class. Now it's up to them to approach the summer and the upcoming seasons, because the job is never done, and supplement what the roster's missing. Jeff Weltman has a very strategic approach. He's building it the right way, which is, let's not draft because we need this one position and go crazy and sacrifice in other areas. Let's get the best player, the guy we think is going to be the most transcendent player in the draft, and add him to our franchise. And if we do that and build the blocks the correct way, we're going to have a very, very strong team in here in Orlando that's sustainable and will last for a long time.
Let's transition this a little bit to overall draft night and surprises and kind of things that were you surprised there wasn't more movement as far as teams trading up or teams trading down than there was? We got the big surprise with Atlanta and Dallas, and then I think the Suns moving up from 16 to eventually take Bridges. For a draft that I thought a lot of people thought that there would be a ton of movement, a ton of excitement, I think what we saw was the impact of LeBron's free agency kind of holding teams up and possibly the Kawhi movement holding teams up on draft night from making moves.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to address specific players, you know, based off our situation here working for a team. But obviously there are certain star players and their potential movement that can affect the movement of other teams. And what I really surprised me was in a summer where certain teams are lacking cap space, in a lot of teams really across the board, I thought there would be more movement of established players in the league and some people getting an early jump start on free agency by making trades now. We've seen that in a lot of past years. The Orlando Magic took that approach in the past when they dealt Victor Oladipo in the Serge Ibaka trade. Some teams have acted and done a little bit of free agency in the past on draft night, but we really didn't see it.
There was not one active player traded on draft night.
So that was that. If anything surprised me on draft night is we didn't see teams take a little bit of that approach in a year where a lot of them are lacking some cap space. But again, as you said, it could be the potential movement of of star level players that is causing teams to take a step back and reconsider being actively involved in adding or shedding salary at this point.
So what's next for the Orlando Magic? Summer League's on the horizon. Free agency begins on July 1. What's next for the Magic? What's next for Dan Savage?
Well, this is the interesting thing. Jeff was asked this last night. Is like, oh, do you flip to free agency mode now? And it's like, actually, no, because the window is so short between the draft and free agency. We've been in free agency mode for a long time. So now is really evaluating on the roster. Okay, this is what we've added. This is what we need to supplement. And so they're going to probably take an approach now of going through all the guys that they have on the roster. Obviously, the big thing is what are we going to do with Aaron Gordon? They obviously want to keep him. They've said that publicly. It's finding a way to do that. And then, you know, on top of that, finding a way to also fulfill other needs on the roster and work it out to make it as complete as possible. They'll also be getting ready for Summer League. Steve Clifford's going to try to get his hands on these guys, build a system, get things ready. I'll be curious to see how the Summer League teams are coached because, you know, in past we've seen head coaches do it for a little bit. We've also seen a platoon of assistant coaches, and we've seen teams do it with just one assistant coach at the helm leading the Summer League team. So that'll be one of the things I'm curious to see, how the Orlando Magic approach that. And then for me personally,
Luke Bryan on Saturday night.
There is some potential
for
that.
Big time dance. Will you wear a cowboy hat?
No. I have a wife who's super into country music, but I, growing up in the Northeast, definitely wouldn't label myself a country fan.
I was going to say, I'm from the Midwest and I could care less about country music.
Yes, but it has the potential to be a good show. I do have a friend who is celebrating her birthday there. And there is potential for me to go, assuming we don't have more work to do and, you know, we have to come in here for, you know, capturing Mo Bamba's first practice or something like that. So at this time of year for us, it's always hard to get away. I'll be pretty tied up between prepping for Summer League itself, free agency, all that goes along with that. Until after Summer League. Then after Summer League is when you finally kind of have a little bit of a lull till we start to really get ready for training camp.
That'll do it for us here on Magic Drive Time, the podcast. Actually, was this your favorite venue to do the show in? Maybe we'll do this here more often.
My favorite
there
was
a basketball court
my
down
favorite
last
was
night.
The Combine gym.
That
just
was good.
Because we were literally doing it and watching talent. And I think you may have been eating a hot dog all at the same
probably,
time.
Probably. Well, that'll do it for us here on the Magic Drive Time podcast. Check back next week. Also, a reminder, rate, subscribe, search us on iTunes. It really helps us out. We appreciate it. Tweet at Dan. He answers more so than I do, but you can follow him at Dan_Savage. Is
correct.
There an NBA on the end?
There's no, NBA there's no NBA. There? That's Josh Cohen.
That's right.
He's Josh_Cohen_NBA. He loves the underscore and he loves the NBA.
We all love the underscore. At Dan_Savage. I'm at Aaron_Berlin. That'll do it for us here today. Everybody stay classy out there.